Detta är kassett nummer 2, det är sida nummer 1. Det är fortsättning på intervju med Hulda Karlsson i Rock Island, Illinois. Och det är idag den 12 juni 1985. This was your brother called then.
Yeah.
Why didn't he trust you that you were 20 years old?
Because he had just bought the car. And I hadn't driven it. But I knew where the paddles was. And I knew how to crank it. And you had spark plug, and you had the gas. Have you ever driven one of those?
No, I never driven it, but I know what it looked like.
Oh, he was very mad at both of us.
But nothing happened, and, though, when you drove around there. You managed to...
Yeah, and if I had met somebody in that corner, I know the road, I would have driven right into it. Of course, I had too much gas on. And he says, you could have killed both yourself and the girl. And that was so true. So, but then after a while, I learned, and I drove it quite often into town to the store. And I can remember we had trashers out there on the farm, and I was going into town to get some groceries, and the Ford stopped on this hill, and I had the awfulest time to crank it to get it going. Gee, that was no fun to crank that. That took strength. But I got it started. So I got home.
And there was a dangerous job too, to crank the car, wasn't it? A lot of accident happened at the...
Yeah, it was.
Crank flew back and...
When you cranked it, you had to turn the spark plug down. You couldn't have it too high because then it might kick you.
Yes.
It seems like it. Gee whiz, that's a long time.
So how long time did it take then until you drove the next time? Did you learn to drive eventually?
Oh, I don't remember. I got to drive after that, whenever I wanted.
He never let you have the car again?
Yeah, he let me have the car. Well, I didn't go by myself. He went. He was a good guy. We used to go into Moline to the dances, Wassa dances, in the summertime.
Oh, you belong to Wassa?
Oh, no, I didn't belong there because...
Did he belong to a Noble Arch in Wassa?
I don't know if he belonged or not. I can't remember that, if he did, but... You had all those Swedish dances at that time.
Were they in downtown Moline or?
Yeah. Turner Hall.
Turner Hall.
There's where the dances were. That's right. And they had, in the fall, they had masquerade dance. And that was fun.
And they all talked Swedish at that time? At those wings, dances.
Oh, yeah, I suppose they did, because I don't think I knew enough English to talk it.
How did you pick up the English now out in Geneseo working on your brother's farm? Because when he talked to you, it was all in Swedish.
Well, you know, I really don't know how I got to talk English.
How long did you stay there at your brother's place?
Well, I was there until... I got married, I guess. No, I had one job in town.
In Geneseo?
No, in Moline, I believe. For a while. Then we got married in 1920.
1920. Yeah. So you stayed there 4 years then?
Yeah, just about.
So you talked Swedish to the horses too then when you were out in the field? Well, how did you manage to get them going or stopping?
Well, I tell you, all you had to say, ho, and stop.
Well, he told you that, your brother.
I'm sure he did.
So that was actually the first English command that you had to your disposal.
Oh, how did I learn English? I don't know if I knew very much English. I think I learned more after the kids were born because they refused to talk Swedish. And now they wish they had. When they started school, they didn't want to talk Swede at all. There was a friend of theirs who always used to talk Swede. And but my kids learned they learned to write English instead. So that was good for them. Well, some talked such a broken English and Swedish like I do.
So, how did you meet your husband? It was in Molin?
No. I had his picture in while I was over in Sweden. My brother and him and another fellow. And my brother sent me that picture. And
well, there was to like an incentive to come over. Well, why did he send his picture?
Because he sent my brother sent me his picture. Yeah. And here was Gus. There's another one. And I had that picture.
Well, they're all three
they
together.
All three together.
I see. I thought there was a single.
No.
No, I think he was just sending a picture. And, so
he went home 1916. Then he came back. And my brother and him and Gus and another fellow called Swan came over to the farm. And that's how it happened. That's how I met them.
Daddy told me that they had told him that Carl's sister had just come over from Sweden. And let's go out to Geneseo and hear the news, the latest news from Sweden. So he just happened to be friends of theirs. So they all came out, and that was when you met.
Yeah, I knew. I had to cook supper for them, and I hated to do it.
Oh, did you? I heard. Got to hear about that too.
So what kind of news did you bring now with you from Sweden? What did you want to hear?
Well, he had just been home himself. So he was home 1916, so I don't know what, I guess we talked about something, but he worked. He lived down in Moline in this, why can't I remember that? Rooming house.
Mm-hmm. Boarding house.
Boarding house, yeah. He lived down there. And he was a friend of both Carl and Axel and my other brother, Gus. And they all used to come out to the farm.
This boarding house, where was that located in Moline? Right downtown?
You know where the Moline Depot was?
No, I don't know if I can. There's not anything there now today.
No, where?
I think it was on 12th. Street and 4th Avenue, the boarding house.
Near the depot.
And you could go right over there, railroad track, and you get into Deer and Company.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was that close, and that's where they lived.
So most of them worked at John Deere then, or?
Yeah, he worked there then.
Lock-up.
And then. Oh, there was a lot of those young Swedish fellows at that time. But then, in 1918, they all took them out in the war.
So your husband's first name now, was that?
Gustav.
Gustav.
Gustav Adolf.
Gustav Adolf Karlsson.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from Lidköping.
Yeah.
So when you met him there, you had already started a job in Modena at that time, so you had moved away from your brother's place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You also lived in Molina.
Yeah.
At the place where you worked, or
mm-hmm.
So you took housemaid or housekeeping, or
After we got married, you mean?
Well, I mean, when you were employed by another one, did you work in the house then as a maid?
Well, I worked for cooking? Carl, for my brother.
Yeah, but I mean in Molina.
Oh. Yeah, I guess it was housekeeping.
An American family or
no?
Swedish?
I think I worked for Fisk and Loosley's because a friend of mine they worked across there.
Mm-hmm. And it was regular housework then?
Yeah, that was housework.
Cooking and cleaning and?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you met your husband, now then you quit work?
After we got married, yeah. Oh.
Was that a custom that the wife quit working when they got married and they moved into a flat or
house? We had a housekeeping rooms after we got married in Yeniseer.
At First Lutheran or?
No, we got married at my brother's farm.
Why is he?
Nobody could afford a church wedding.
You know, when I mean the pastor, was he from the First Lutheran? Or?
He was from Bishop Hill. My brother and my sister-in-law brought him with them.
From Bishop Hill?
Uh-huh.
Is he a Methodist pastor then?
No, it was a Lutheran.
From Bishop Hill?
Uh-huh. I think so.
Yeah, but there were no Lutherans in Bishop Hill.
They have Lutherans there?
No, not in Bishop Hill. Well, there were one, but it was very early on. So he could have been living there and had another church, maybe in Galway.
Yeah, he was a friend of my sister-in-law and her family.
What was his name, the pastor?
I think I remember that. I can't remember that. I have the... marriage license. Yeah. His name is in there.
So your husband, he worked at John Deere then at that time?
Yeah.
1920.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then he got laid off that summer. That's when he got laid off.
And we lived
on 19th Avenue. And that's there when Margaret was born in August. And he used to walk up and see the ball games there. A friend of mine lived downstairs and we lived upstairs on 8th Street and 19th Avenue.
8th Street and 19th Avenue. There was a...
That's still standing, 807 19th Avenue. Uh-huh.
So then, what happened then when your husband was laid off? Did you go back to work then, or how did you manage to...
No, we just stayed there. And we must have had a few dollars so we could stay. That must have been it.
But how did you manage then to make a living?
That's what I mean. We must have had a few dollars to live on.
So there was a hard time then, 1921. A lot of people were laid off from...
Yeah, it was. No, we didn't have any children because Margaret wasn't born till 1923. That's it. It was just him and I. And I think we went out to the farm quite often because we had my brother's car. I think that's how it was. Well,
so how long was he without a job then?
3 months.
3 months?
Mm-hmm.
And he was called back again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he stayed on there for how many years?
43
years. In one sweep?
No, He was, yeah, sure he did. Because he came back from the army and they were called out in 1918 and then they come back in 1919. That's how it was. Yeah, then we got married in 1920, I think that's how it was. And then he got this job and we bought, when Margaret was born over on 8th Street, there we lived upstairs, a friend of ours lived downstairs. And then 1926, no, Jimmy was born in 25. We still lived there in 1925. On 8th Street. Then we bought a house in 1928 and moved over to 17th Avenue. 1921, 17th Avenue.
13.
We bought that house.
In 1925?
No, it must have been. No, Jimmy was born in 25. We were still living up there. That must have been in 28 we bought that house. And we got a loan through Deering Company, and we paid so much on the capital, and so much percentage. What do you call it?
Interest?
Yeah, interest. So much on interest. And then it went pretty good. And then, was it in 31 that there was a new depression?
And me too.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
That's a depression.
She doesn't want to think about it though.
No. She don't.
Oh, I remember
having. We were lucky. He was on inspection, and he got to work 2 days a week. And you know, you could get a loaf of bread for little or nothing, and you could manage. And he worked his garden. We had potatoes. We had asparagus. We had carrots, all those things. We had a big garden over there, and that helped. And then, well, it seemed like we were very busy. He used to go and carry her around the dining room table the whole time.
The horse you bought now, that was from the loan. It was from John Deere?
No. They used to give us the loan.
Okay, was there a good deal instead of having it with the bank, do you think?
Well, I think it was a better deal than to have it at the bank. Because during the depression, we didn't have to pay any on the principal. Paid the interest.
Yes,
we managed that. And at that time, the interest was 6%.
How much did you borrow then? I mean, how much did you pay for the house at that time?
I don't know. It was between 3,000 and 4,000.
Mm-hmm. There were some people who lost their homes through foreclosures.
Oh, did they ever in the farms and everything? So we really.
That was lucky. With deer,
uh-huh. Yeah, so that
and
was
so safety. We always had enough to eat and everything, nothing for pleasure or anything. You couldn't go out and spend an evening, buy a big dinner or anything. You weren't able to do those things.
Did people do that at that time though?
I don't think they did. Well, I don't know if other people did, but I know we couldn't.
How about vacation? You know, nowadays everybody talks about vacation. You never
thought? Well, we didn't have any vacation until 1936. Then we bought the new Ford. And it took us 3 days to go up to Minnesota.
You had problems, or it was just bad roads?
There was no problem. The only thing is, with that new car, it got overheated. Thermostats. So we stopped at the gas station and took out the thermostats. And then we got along. And I had a cousin that lived in Minneapolis. And we were going to stay in the, what is that park?
Minnehaha.
Minnehaha Park, yeah. We were going to stay there in one of those camps. And we opened the door, and it was close to 100 in the heat. And it was so hot. So Augusta was her name, Augusta Carlson. And she came over and she said, she wasn't married, she just lived in this house. And her landlady had gone on vacation, so she said, come on home with me and we can put mattress on the sun porch. So we did, and we stayed with her a couple days. And by that time, it was time to go home, because I don't think you got more than 1 or 2 weeks at that time vacation. But then the next year, we got home fine, and everything was burned up in the garden. It was so dry and so hot all over. That was in 36. But then in 37, we drove up there, and then we went to a lake up there in close to Brainerd.
Oh, that's cool.
And my cousin went with us. And then we had a nice time there.
So then when your children got older, did they press you on to take more vacation and go places?
Well, we took the kids with us. She was 5 when we went. And Jimmy was, well, I don't know.
There
was 5 years between Jim and...
He would have been 10 and Margaret 12.
Yeah. Margaret must have been 12, yeah. So they were with. They were good kids, all of them. Don't have trouble with them like they have now. But then... Augusta went with us and we stayed at.
Your husband, then he continued to work then for John Deere all the way to his retirement age.
Mm-hmm. He worked there till, well, after he got through being inspector, he was foreman. So that raised his salary a little bit more.
And it was at the plant on at 7th and...
John Deere Plow Work.
Plow Works.
Mm-hmm. And during the war, they were very busy there. But then it slowed down, which was good, he thought. But he was 65 in 58, so then he took pension. He wasn't going. He could have worked a couple more years, but it was so noisy up there. They made all kinds of implements and everything. And
did the work affect his health or anything? I mean, you said it was noisy. Was he deaf or?
Well, I don't know if it did. He was a healthy, strong guy. The only thing is, later years, he didn't have enough exercise problem. But he had to go through operation, too. And I think that took some of it.
He was almost 88, though, when he died. Mm-hmm. And his hearing was
pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think it affected it.
No.
I shouldn't say that. It probably affected it. It probably would have been better without it, but it was fine.
Well, the noise kind of affects you, but otherwise he...
So he was satisfied then with his employment over the years?
Oh, yeah. After he got on pension, he used to go down and talk to the fellows and everything. So he was very satisfied with what he did. He was a good worker. People liked him down there, even as he was foreman. Sometimes you don't like your foreman.
But he could still walk down there.
Yeah, they still liked him.
Uh-huh. Did he belong to any organizations, so Swedish, Switzer or Vasa? Or?
Just the Mason.
Mason. Uh-huh. How, was he an American citizen early in the,
Yeah.
In the 20s? Or?
He was an American citizen in 1918, when you were out in the war.
In the war, that's right, he was an American.
You got,
yes.
He had his first paper, and they gave you the second. And I never had to take it, because 1920, if you married an American citizen, you got to be a citizen. But that was the last year they did that.
How about politics now? Was he interested in politics, or you, for instance?
Baseball.
Baseball? That's all the politics.
That was his politics. Uh-huh. He had a good opinion of what was right and what was wrong. He didn't think he knew enough. Oh, he went to vote and all that.
How about the... he was not related to John Carlson that died a few months ago. He was in Vestergötland also. You know, the alderman in Moline? John Carlson?
I don't know if he knew him or not.
He wasn't related to him.
No,
no
I don't.
Not related because of...
No.
He
was from a big family too. And he had a brother, Sam, that was over here. Because Sam was all over. He had been in Florida. Everything. And the funny part of it was he went home to Sweden. And he died in 79, I think. And Gus died in 80. And his other brother, Enoch, died in 81. All those three big, nice guys right after another. Couldn't get over it. And they were the last of that family, except daughters and brothers from.
And they stayed over in Sweden?
Oh, yeah. Well, his brother has some in Boston, in Worcester, New York, I believe it is.
So, 1958, you took a trip over to Sweden?
Yeah.
And that was your first time then, and also your husband's first time?
Yeah.
So,
that was not Daddy's first time to go back.
Well, he was back in 1916, but that was, we weren't married then.
No.
It was the first time.
He had been back a couple times.
After we got married.
But Mother had never been.
So how did you see the old
Oh.
Homestead or wherever you were born.
Oh, it was fine.
Your parents were gone then?
Yeah. They were all gone. So we went to Yale, to my sister's place.
Yes.
That's where we stayed. Yeah, that's the church. Church farm. We stayed there. And then we went to the other places.
But the place now where you were born, Brotorpet, they were still there.
Yeah, somebody had bought that. Oh. But we went down there.
How did it look now to you then?
This is cassette 2, continuation with Hulda Karlsson, Rock Island, Illinois, side 2.
The place now where you were born, Brotorpet, they were still there.
Yeah, somebody had bought that, but we went down there.
How did it look now to you then at that time? Was it smaller than you expected when you came back, or was it exactly the same as you left it?
It was fixed over. They had made the second floors better. There was, as we called it, the attic. But they had fixed it over so people could sleep up there. And them on just once.
Was there something outside that you recognize, like the lake, Osnen, some special tree or something that you caught your eye on that you have seen before or remember?
I took the Osnen out of Sjunket. Vattnet har gått tillbaka.
Det var inte lika högt?
No. Because we went down all around it. There were three places that hit the ocean, and they heard. Well, you can call it Yengut, but trees and stuff. It wasn't like it was before, because we had lots of cherry trees and apple trees and all that all around.
They were Yenvext?
Yeah. And we had a liten gångstig som gick ner till Pylvomara, the neighbor, and another one gick till Örnanäs på den sidan. Den var öppen. And then there were Hultabronen, Lyding Sal, Horabolet.
Så det var många vägar som gick ut ifrån Brotorpet.
Mm-hmm. Vi var nere vid sjön. Oh, the days.
Många år sedan.
Åsten.
Ja, Åsten. Det är många år sedan.
Since 1916, how många år will that be?
Oh, 68.
30, 40, oh. 50, 60, 70, 80. 89.
Oh, so what? I see to
89.
85. No.
No, that can't be possible. No. 69.
Yeah, 69, yeah.
That's what it be. Oh. 69.
How did you feel then when you came back there? Did you were you homesick?
No.
When you left 1916, for instance, did it take you a certain number of years before you got over the feeling of home? And
no. Somehow, I was glad to go back.
From Sweden?
Yeah.
There was something that it didn't fit in?
No. They were so good. People are so good to us when we come over there. But somehow, I didn't feel so much at home as I do when I'm here. I don't know why that is. But I could easily go back again and like it. But I think I would want to come back anyhow. I don't know. I guess I've been here too long. I think that's the reason. And when you've been away from some place that long, you really don't know where you fit in.
You don't want to start over again?
No. Although the people over there, last summer, they were so good to us. Gus, this folks he lead chipping, they were just wonderful. All of them.
So you also visited your husband's people too then?
Yes, yeah, we always. And
do they live on a farm too, or he came also from a farm?
I think they did years ago. His folks was farmer. He had a milk gout, I believe, his father. But they also had a farm. And now it's just sisters and brothers from Gustav's sister and brother there. But they were so good to us, all of them. So we write, Gus used to write to one Christmas. He wasn't much for writing otherwise, so I decided to keep it up. So last summer when we were there, I'm glad I had, because they were so nice.
So you wrote to two places then between 1916 and up to present time. In other words, both to your husband's relation, yeah, and also to your own.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do they want to know when they write to you? Do they ask any questions, or do you just tell them what you have been through the last year or so? Or
wish I had Margaret with me. She could explain everything to you.
You write in Swedish then to Sweden?
Yeah. Jag skriver på svenska.
And you have no problem to read their handwriting?
Oh, no. I have no problem talking. I have no problem talking it. You say what comes first.
But when you read the letters from Sweden today, for instance, have you seen any changes in the language, how they write it?
Yeah.
Since 1920, for instance, when you wrote home then, they wrote differently.
De har så många engelska ord dem själva.
Ja.
Det ser ut så.
Så de är svenska amerikaner mer i Sverige än vad de är här kanske?
Yeah.
So you notice that?
Well, my nephew in Malmö, he was interpreter or whatever it was. He talks good English. And so does his brother that lives in Stockholm. He also talks good English. And they write perfect English. And I write half and half. Of course, my sister said, oh, well, it's half English and half Swedish. And I think I write what comes to my mind first. If I can't find the Swedish word, to set the engelska. Isn't that dumb?
Well, but that's the way. They will eventually learn, though, you know, letter after letter, what you mean. I'm sure they can get the hang of it.
Yeah, I think they can.
So you were happy then when you went back 1958 and also last year, you said.
Yeah.
That you have kept this correspondence open.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, my daughter and I, we were over in... We were over there in 73.
Oh, I see. You've been there.
Yeah. And my husband was over there the year before. He don't like to fly. He takes the boat. When did Margaret and Bob come back from Kuwait?
16.
Oh, Margaret, this is your other daughter, Margaret.
Yeah.
Margaret.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The oldest one.
Yeah.
62 or 63?
Could have been 63, yeah.
63.
He went over to Sweden himself. Because when we come back in 58, we get in a hurricane, the tailgate of a hurricane. The boat, they had to put, well, so the dishes wouldn't fall off the table. And I says, I never go on the boat. And he don't want to fly. So he went alone and he met them over in Sweden. So they got to visit with my folks and his folks. And then they come back here. They had been over in Kuwait for 18 months. He is a geologist, groundwater geologist. And Parsons from California sent him over to Kuwait. And they had three children, and the youngest one was five. And they went way over to Kuwait. And then he met them in Sweden coming back. But they flew back, and he come back on the boat. That's right.
Is he a Swedish background, your daughter's husband?
Well, his name is Bergström, so
wow.
There must be Swedish.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, think so. Uh-huh. Right now, they're out in California.
So you are planning for another trip then, maybe?
Yeah, we went home in 73, my daughter and I. She said, I'm going to take you to Sweden. So she did. And we had a good time. We saw them all. Mm-hmm. But, we just went for 3 weeks.
Well, you celebrated your 75th? Was it your 75th birthday?
Was that what it was?
It was some...
73.
Yeah, maybe.
75 then.
Yes.
Yeah. She don't mind flying. So she said she was going to go over. But it was okay. Last summer, they rented a car so you have transportation when you get there. But I don't think we used it too much because somebody comes and meets you and everything. It was good to have it. We could get back to Malmö. And then we took the fly boat over to Copenhagen. And it's surprising how fast you get from Copenhagen to Chicago. And it was so nice on the plane. He said, over Greenland, we over someplace in Canada. Now we're crossing. What is that? Lake Michigan, before you get into Chicago. He tells you all that. And all of a sudden, we were back home.
So you have seen a lot of travels then, since you came 1916 to Geneseo.
Yeah.
It was a different era. So your brother now in Geneseo, he died?
Yeah.
And how about their farm? Did it to stay in the... No, he rented a farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was he married?
No, he wasn't married.
See,
no.
Passionate.
No.
So your husband, he was not interested to be a farmer?
No, I don't think so. He was more He liked what he was doing. He wasn't, when he first started at Dandier, he was what you call an assembler. And then he was inspector, and then he was foreman to the last. And I think he liked, he never complained about anything.
How about your children? Now you have two daughters, I know you've been talking about, and how about any boys?
My son, he went out in that Second World War. He was in two combats, and he was hurt. He was in a hospital off and on. And then he was on the way to some other place, and he had to go through an operation, hernia. Then he come back, and he was going to be a helicopter pilot. He was a warrant officer. Then he got sick. He got cancer of the jaw. So he was at Walter Reed Hospital. I was up there to see him. He was so sick. And his wife came in. They lived out in New Jersey then. So he died in 66, I believe, 1966. He was out in those Japanese islands, Marshall Island, Saigon, that's where he got hurt. He was in the Marines then. But then he learned to fly a helicopter. He was good. He even came down here in his helicopter.
End of interview.